You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join in on the conversation on Google+.
Hello and welcome to Screen View episode 14. With me are John Denny and Amy Morgan.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How are you guys this week?
Good, good. I mean, better than I was earlier this week.
Things are good.
It is the end of the week.
Yep.
Close to the end of the week.
It's all downhill from here.
TGIF, almost.
Exactly. In a couple hours. So,
yep.
We'll all be fine. Yep. Let's see here. Let's jump right into the news. For the box office this past weekend was Contraband. Number one at the box office, which is the Mark Wahlberg movie, $28 million. Not bad. That's kind of low, but not bad.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that Beauty and the Beast in 3D did not beat Contraband.
I'm surprised that Beauty and the Beast in 3D made $20 million.
Really? Remember we were talking about this? Lion King in 3D made like a boatload of cash too.
But Lion King was huge. We were really young when Beauty and the Beast came out in theaters. Like, I remember when Lion King came out, and it was enormous. Like, that and Aladdin were, like, from my recollection, the two biggest, like, releases from my childhood, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember Beauty and the Beast. I know it's a good movie, and people enjoy it, but I don't remember it being as big as The Lion King was. So, and, you know, just... For what it is, does it need to be in 3D? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right.
We've had that conversation before, but it doesn't seem like there's enough of an action element there to put it, you know, as a 3D story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm surprised it did as well as it did. What I'm saying.
Do you remember 3D when it... not 3D, obviously, but do you remember 3D. Beauty and the Beast when it came out, Amy?
Like, I do. I went and saw it in the theaters, and I really liked it. I don't know if it really needs to be in 3D, but again, it's like this whole idea that it's like everything, now that 3D is like so big now, it's like, oh, everybody, let's see what we can get out of this. Let's go and, you know, milk it for all it's worth. We want our cut of the pie.
Right, right.
Let's go off on a quick tangent about that. I just saw a billboard for... Phantom Menace is being released in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
knew that was happening, right?
I did, and I forgot. I don't understand why, if George Lucas is going to take the time to put these movies in 3D, why would he not start with the three movies that people enjoy seeing?
Because...
I know they're so old that it probably wouldn't work on the same format, and the newer ones are at least digital and blah, 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 blah. But people don't want to see those movies. And they told him as much after they saw them. They're like, you know, they're widely regarded as not very good. Right. So, I
think he's trying to drill it. I think George Lucas is trying to drill it in people's minds that you should take 1, 2, and 3 as before 4, 5, and 6 versus, you know, vice versa.
Well, he's wrong, so...
I just wish he would stop screwing around. Like, okay, turn it into 3D, that's fine. But you know that when he turns it into 3D, he's going to change 4, 5, and 6. Like, he's going to tweak something about it. I think when they released it in Blu-ray, he changed something again. So,
Yeah, he put in a scene that was deleted that was actually a pretty decent scene that they should have kept in the original, but from what I understand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, people are, the nerds are going to go see this movie, and, you know, I classify myself as a nerd. I'm not going to go see it, but, like, the super Star Wars nerds are going to go see this movie, and they're going to pay their, you know, $15 or whatever to see it in 3D, and they're going to say it was just as bad as I saw it the first time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, well, A, why would you put it out there to get railed like that if you're the studio? I mean, I know it's going to make money, but B, if you know what you're going to get, why would you go and pay $15 to get it?
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't get the mindset.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or if you're lucky enough, go see it at matinee and you won't have to pay that much, maybe.
It's true.
Depends on where you go. Like, if you go to a big screen, if you go to an IMAX theater, you're going to pay a whole lot more, obviously. But, you know, hey.
Well, they don't give out the glasses for free yet, right?
No, they don't. Well, it depends.
No, they do. Don't they?
It's always more expensive.
Not IMAX.
I'm not talking about IMAX. Yeah. Though. Like, just to go see it at a regular theater, I think it costs like a few extra dollars to see it in 3D. Mm-hmm. At least up where I am.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But that. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like you could choose not to pay for that though. But you can't choose to pay not to pay for that.
No, you can't choose because like I've got plenty of 3D glasses here hanging around the house that I would love to go. Hey, I'm bringing my own glasses. Hey.
Yeah.
Could. So
can I get a cheap deal because I'm bringing my own glasses?
My parents go to 3D movies, and after they left, one of them, they were asking for the glasses back.
Yeah.
My dad was like, I paid for these. They're mine now.
Yeah, they do that a lot. They do that a lot now. They have like bins in front of the ones that I go in front of the one I go to.
If you're going to ask for them back, it'd be the same price.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're paying for that extra expensive projector that they get for the 3D projector.
I don't care.
Well, I always kind of thought that it was because they've got to clean those glasses. At least I hope they clean those glasses before they give them back to us.
Yeah. I mean, they have to. I think what they're asking for them back is they want you to recycle them, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they rebag them because every one that they give you is newly sealed. So,
yeah.
I don't think they give you old ones. I hope not. At least it feels cleaner than when you go to, like, Disney World and they give you those, like, pieces of crappy glasses and you wear them and you give them back and you wear another pair. They're like
Batman's
been worn.
Not gonna be released in 3D, right?
What's that?
Batman's not gonna be released in 3D, is it?
Batman? Maybe? The Dark Knight Rises, you mean?
Yeah.
I
would hope that Christopher Nolan takes his craft serious enough that he doesn't have to resort to gimmicks like that.
No 3D in Batman 3.
Good.
But the Avengers is.
Yeah, but so was Thor, and they had, you know, plenty of theaters that...
So was Captain America, and that was awful.
Yeah.
Didn't feel anything different about it.
Oh, I was going to say the movie was pretty good.
No, the movie was good. 3D was like, eh. Okay, fine. I don't get... Anyway. number three in the box office was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. It's still up there. This movie is doing really well. It's, usually action films drop 50% week over week, and last week it only dropped 28.5%, so pretty good.
It's still showing in more theaters than any other movie in the top 10.
Yeah, it's still making a lot of money. Well, that, I mean, people are obviously still going, so it's a good movie. So another film, Joyful Noise, which is a new one. I actually, I think it's a smaller film.
Queen Latifah and
The Dolly Parton movie.
Dolly Parton, yeah.
God, I blocked that out of my mind, so I almost forgot. So that was number four. Number five is Sherlock Holmes, and the Devil Inside film, which we talked about last week, dropped to number six.
It still made $10 million, though. I can't believe that.
$10 million. It dropped 73.2%.
And
still made $9.03 million. It's amazing. It's amazing. This movie, there's obviously going to be a Devil Inside 2. And you're going to have to go to another damn website.
Although I was right about the advertising kind of dropped off.
Yeah, they kind of figured it. I mean,
they're still advertising Sherlock Holmes pretty hard up here anyway.
Yeah, they are. what they don't advertise is Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is number 7. Which, man, I kind of wish it made a lot more money, but it is a rated R film. And,
It still needs $1 million to break its,
To break even, yeah.
To break even.
I mean, they already said they're going to make a second one, so that'll be...
I think at this point they sort of, not that they have to, but, the books are out there, the people are going to... They're going to see it, or have read the books, you're going to see it probably.
Yeah.
So
I'm kind of confused. It's just like, so many people have read these books, and yet nobody went to go see the movie.
I mean,
it's obviously a very dark and brutal-looking film, so maybe people kind of turned off by that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think also people got confused. I know I was. Before I started reading the books... I was like, oh, they already made these movies, not knowing that that was a Swedish version.
Oh, maybe.
And I was like, they're remaking this movie already? I don't understand that. This movie just came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that, in the Targets up here, they were selling all three movies on DVD. So, yeah, obviously, if they're selling it in Target, it's prevalent enough that people know that it's, they see that. The populace sees that on a shelf somewhere in a Target, and they say that movie is brand new. I could just buy that on DVD. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the casting in the American version better anyway. Number 8.
Just because where the people are.
No. It's if you ever watched the Swedish version, the guy is not who you imagine. Have you read the books, Amy, by any chance?
I haven't. That's why all of this is like, ooh.
Yeah, but,
okay, so pretty much the way they explain it is, like, in the book, the way I pictured it, and maybe, John, I don't know if you'd agree, but the way I pictured it is definitely just Daniel Craig, but older.
No.
No?
That's not at all what I pictured.
I wouldn't have pictured the Swedish guy, because the Swedish guy
back
is...
On it, not that I'm complaining about the movie at all, but it sort of seems like a James Bond movie. Like, there was the video montage in the beginning, and, Daniel Craig is, having sex with just about every woman in the movie.
Yeah, but that was him. That was, like,
I know. No, I get that that's what the character
that
was.
James Bond, though, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
like I said, not that I'm complaining about it. What I envisioned was what the hell's that guy's name? I can't think of him now.
We were talking about this.
Yeah, and it was, it would shock you once I tell you who it is.
I don't know. The other guy, the Swedish guy he's too out of shape.
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt.
That's who I pictured.
Oh, yeah, that's not who I pictured. Yeah, I disagreed with that.
Well, obviously you're reading it and you're picturing someone in your head. And it just seemed to me like maybe it's because my wife is watching The Big C and he's on that. And it doesn't make any sense that his wife is the main character, is Laura Linney in that show, because he's not terribly attractive. And I just imagine that this journalist is not terribly attractive, but he still manages to, get with these women. And I was just like, it just makes sense that it's Oliver Platt to me.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I definitely did not expect
I wouldn't imagine a big-time journalist to look like Daniel Craig. You know what I mean?
I would have. I think that was the main reason why he was able to sleep with like 15 million people in the book. Although I didn't sleep with as many people in the movie. So.
No, but I just, I didn't see it as like, oh, these women are falling all over him. I saw it as, it's a matter of convenience for everyone.
Oh.
They're warm bodies.
Maybe people in Sweden just sleep with people more. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so number 8 is Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked. And number 9 is We Bought a Zoo. And War Horse was number 10. Which actually, man. War Horse did not make as much money as a Steven Spielberg movie should. But
it doesn't seem... I mean, I know you enjoyed it, but as an outsider, it doesn't seem like a very interesting
plot. Very, very badly, very badly advertised. It was like the way they advertise it was like a horse's dream movie, but well, it's like, not.
Why do I don't yeah. care about a horse in World War One.
Yeah, I know. That's how I felt too when I went into it, I mean, and then I watched it, and I was like, wow, okay, this is actually not bad. Pretty good.
And you know, 9 out of 10 animal-driven movies ends up with the main animal not living at the end. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I think people have gotten past that point where they don't want to see the animals dying anymore.
It doesn't turn out that way.
That's why I said 9 out of 10. I didn't assume that.
Yeah.
10. The 1 out of 10 is Warhorse.
Yeah.
Okay, so out this week, out tomorrow on Friday, was Haywire, which is about a woman who just goes around kicking people's ass. And
an MMA fighter.
Yeah, she's an MMA fighter, which is...
And she was on American Gladiators, and they revamped it.
Wow, that's awesome. I remember that. Oh, my God. I remember the original American Gladiators.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That lasted way longer than this one.
Yeah.
But anyway, next movie is Red Tails, which is about the Tuskegee Airmen, which is the last film outside of Indiana Jones 5 that George Lucas is going to do. Yeah. He said he's retired.
That's a George Lucas movie? Red Tails is George Lucas?
It's a Lucas film. Yeah, he produced it. Yeah.
Oh.
So, and there's going to be another Indiana Jones?
There's gonna, Indiana Jones 5. Yeah, he hasn't found the catch yet, though. He hasn't found the crystal skull. Please don't let it be the crystal skull. He hasn't found that chalice or whatever.
Wasn't that bad?
I think it ended very bizarrely. It was good up right until that part. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you go from there?
I don't know.
I mean,
Mars?
It ended just as weird as all the other ones.
I think it ended a little weirder.
In fact, the one that ended the sanest was the second one, which people also didn't like.
Which one was, how did that one end?
It was a glowing hot stone burning in the guy's hand.
Yeah.
Oh, I was cool with that. I don't know. Four was
and the other ones where it was ghosts all over the place, a 400-year-old knight living in a cave.
That totally made sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense that you people leave just, them there, you walk away.
the populace enjoys that because it's part of the mythology that most of us grew up with, and they understand it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
That's my opinion of why people don't like the second one or the fourth one, because it's like Incas. What is that? That's not Christian.
Yeah, I thought the second one was fine. Maybe it was just because at that time when it happened, everything was like aliens, aliens, aliens. And then it was like, oh, come on, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But Indiana Jones 5, outside of that, George Lucas is done, he says. That's what he said.
I doubt it.
And then finally...
Then.
What'd you say, Amy?
I said he'll start producing then. Instead of being like the director and all that, he'll just like, he'll have people pitch stuff to him and he'll say, I can get behind that. Here's a whole buttload of money.
Yeah, he's only ever directed like three movies.
Oh, he has? Okay, well, never mind then.
He directed THX 1138, which is like a sci-fi movie from the 70s.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The first Star Wars movie he directed.
He didn't direct 4, did he?
No. Oh, yeah. No, he did direct 4. He didn't direct 5 or 6.
I don't think he directed 4 either. I don't think
he directed American Graffiti.
Yeah, he directed. It is okay. George Lucas did direct 4, and then he directed 1, 2, and 3.
And 1, 2, and 3. But I mean, then, like the Star Wars franchise minus two of the better movies. Actually.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly how it took off. Right.
And American Graffiti, which is actually really good, and this movie THX 1138, which I haven't seen yet. But, I mean, he's been more of a producer slash idea person more than anything else.
Yeah. Mm. According,
which I think he's better at anyway.
Yeah. He could still be involved, but just like even more detached.
He's got the ideas as long as he's not the one stirring the pot. You know, the director can choose, you know what, I'm not going to put that in here. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
If he's a director, he's like, I'm putting all this in here because it makes sense to me. And people are like, what? Is that a Jamaican guy as Jar Jar Binks?
Jar Jar Binks. Anyway, so yeah, George Lucas says that he's pretty much, he's retiring. He's done.
Yeah.
He's retiring from producing epic films. That's great.
until there's a new movie format and he puts out the Star Wars movies on,
again. You
know, yeah,
whatever, with more hidden footage.
This time in passive 3D. So, yeah, the last film out this weekend, the big one, the biggest one, I guess, the one that you've seen most likely the most, is Underworld Awakening.
Yeah.
Which I kind of wanted to get your guys' opinion on, because...
Can I just point out, in the email you sent us, you said it was the third Underworld movie. It's the fourth Underworld movie.
Yeah.
Right, well, the third was a prequel, wasn't it?
Right, and this is the third. This Underworld Awakening is the third one with
her.
What's her face?
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale.
That vampire lady.
So
the vampire lady.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I only ever seen the first one.
Okay.
So I was underwhelmed by it, I guess. So, I didn't really. I have a judgment on the Underworld sequels. I know. There are people out there who really enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's like Vampires meets The Matrix,
yeah.
I guess, is what
but
I understand
worse,
it to be.
But not as good, yeah.
Or better.
But, I mean, I was thinking about this question that you asked us. Do we need sequels to subpar sequels? Mm. And I see it from both ways. As a fan, you're like, oh, part two... was terrible. Why do they need to do a part three? Or part three was terrible. Why do they do a part four? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to pay my money to see that. And inevitably, each one makes less and less money. As a director or producer or whatever, it's kind of like you're on the opposite side of that, where you're like, I can do better than that.
Right.
I know I can do better than that. I need to prove myself again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or I haven't told enough of the story. There's so much more to tell.
Right. And actually, the perfect point of that is Michael Bay in between Transformers 2 and 3. You know, people came out and were like, Transformers 2 is terrible. And he was like, all right, well, Transformers 3 is going to be so much better. And, you know, some people agree with it. I did not. But, The thing is, I mean, do we need sequels to movies that weren't, to, you know, flat-out first movies that weren't that good to begin with? Like, we talked about this last week, I think, we're getting Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That movie wasn't good, but it made $260 million.
Yeah.
So, because it was a money-wise blockbuster... they're going to shove another one down our throat. You know what I mean? So the way that Hollywood sees it is, if I can make money on it, I'm going to make money on it.
Yeah. Right?
And the way that we see it is, just tell a good story. I mean, do we need sequels at all? I mean, sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. I mean, obviously the big one is the original Star Wars trilogy was, you look at the first one, and that was a complete story. You know, the Death Star was destroyed. The only thing that wasn't solved was Darth Vader was still alive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He got away. Yep.
Right. The characters that needed to redeem themselves redeemed themselves, and, you know, everything was good in the end. And then it was 3 years later that they got the second one came out in 1980, and that ended on a cliffhanger, and which obviously leads to a third one. And I think what makes people upset is that usually you get a complete story in the first movie, even if it's a planned trilogy. Trilogy.
Trilogy. That works. Trilogy.
Trilogy.
That works.
Even if it's a planned trilogy, you get a complete story in the first one, and then the second one is a cliffhanger, and then the third one ends the story. I mean, I can go on forever about that. I mean, Back to the Future Part 2, huge cliffhanger at the end. Pirates of the Caribbean 2, huge cliffhanger at the end. Inevitably, the girl who played with fire, there's going to be a huge cliffhanger at the end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think trilogies are better, or, you know, sequels and sequels and sequels are better if each one is a contained story. And Pete, you understand? I don't know, Amy, if you read comic books, but they plan everything nowadays for 6-episode story arcs. Whether a story can be told in 1 issue or 2 issues or whatever, they like, you know, we had to spread the story. We had to spread the story out so we can get a full 6-issue trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know, this guy has, you know, I'm going to do a Voltron trilogy, but I've only got enough for 2 stories. I'll just spread out the second 2 and into a third one. That way people go see the second one, they're going to want to know how the story ends, and they're, you know, I'm kind of forcing them to see the third one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what, if you could tell three, if you want to make a trilogy, write 3 stories. And I think that it would appease the fan base. It would appease me. But that's my outlook on it is, you know, I'll take sequels as long as they're well-written and planned out ahead of time and not just thrown together at the last minute because you think you can make some money on it.
Okay. Well, Amy,
I'd agree with that.
Okay. Huh? So I would agree with that.
But there are things like, you know, this isn't the only one that's ever done that. I mean, there's, you know, Resident Evil, there's, you know...
Oh, no, for sure. For
Final
sure.
Destination. Is, yeah. I mean, things that just keep on going and going and going. I mean, is
Saw,
there...
Saw, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Saw, for sure, oh, yeah, God.
For sure. I mean, this Underworld thing was just what kind of stirred my my idea here for... Just to ask you guys some, you know, to see what you guys thought, because obviously there are people that care about these movies, because obviously they would, if not, they wouldn't have made them, and they're so cheap to make, and this is the issue, right? Underworld, the first two Underworlds were cheap to make.
Right.
So they still made, the second one made more money than the first one, and I saw the first one, but then I saw the second one. And I was like, and we actually saw it for, I actually saw it for free. It was, they were playing it at my dorm or something like that for free. So I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And afterwards, my roommate and I were like, wow, 2.5 hours, we will never get back.
Yeah.
Like you barely, you came in and you finished it and you're like, I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
All I remember is her shooting that circle and falling through. And that wasn't even as cool as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I know. I don't even remember what the second one was about, but I just recently saw the third one maybe about 1.5 months ago. And I have to say, the reason why I was interested in it is because of stuff that they've set up in the first movie about how, you know, the guy, the Lycan guy, fallen in love with a vampire and, you know. So I was like, I was kind of interested in that story because of that. But for what they're doing, what they're advertising it as, like, you know, the... Celine is back or whatever, I can't remember what her name is, and she's trying to find the guy, and I was like, wait, how do I already wrap this part up? I mean, I didn't,
right.
So I'm looking at it going, haven't they wrapped this up? I don't get it. Why are they reviving this? You know, oh, humans are a big deal, and I'm like, yeah, they're suddenly the enemy. Are you kidding? Have you seen what these lichens can do? Have you seen what the vampires can do? And you think human beings can stand up to that?
Or it's like, or you think that human beings won't try to kill them?
Or how many dead bodies are there going to be piling up just to get rid of them? You know, I don't get it. I'm not really enthusiastic about what I'm seeing, but you know, now that this is like a fourth one, it's like, okay, obviously somebody is not getting the memo that you have to quit somewhere.
Right. Well, yeah.
So I mean, we'll probably get another one and another one after that. I mean, hey, Resident Evil is doing the same thing.
Yes. You don't have to quit. I mean, the obvious. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Pete. But
No, it's okay.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
The obvious example is the James Bond series. They've made 25 of those, or however many they've made so far.
23.
They're going to make 23. That I would class that as the exception to any kind of rule. I mean, yeah, they're sort of based on books, but they're not really. It's just they're taking the titles of the movies from the books.
And they kind of are not trying to fit any continuity in there. It's like, it's just a Bond movie. And no one questions whether or not, oh, this doesn't fit with this, or this doesn't fit with this. Or no, it's like, we're just getting another James Bond movie, and they're going to tell something different. And hey, it's a spy movie, so what can we do different with, you know, James Bond? And what's really cool about that is the fact that they've been able to tell 25 movies and still keep it interesting, you know? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, things need to end. That's been my mantra since the beginning. I've always said that. Think good things need to end and bad things need to die. So, like Bond films, there are bad Bond films. There are terrible.
But
Bond
every
films.
Every single one of them has made enough movie where, or enough movie, enough money, where, like they certainly could have ended it after the one Roger Moore movie that people hated with Christopher Walken as a villain.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They went on and continued it with Timothy Dalton and made two movies with him, and then it was like. Nearly, like, almost 10 years later when they finally came out with GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
And it was like, that one, GoldenEye, in my mind, kind of brought that whole franchise back.
It did.
Because
it, did.
It introduced, I had never seen a James Bond movie in a theater before.
Right. It introduced people our age.
It introduced younger people to that whole franchise. And then from that, I went back and watched all the other ones. And then... so there are ups and downs with every franchise, but it seems like nowadays they're like, we're going to tell the best story we can in the first one, and we know it's going to be downhill from there, but we'll still make money on it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's going to go downhill from there. It's fine. It's okay.
Until the inevitable direct-to-DVD. I just saw a commercial for The Scorpion King 3.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I did, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't realize
there was a Scorpion King 2.
That went direct to DVD. The second went direct to DVD. That's why.
Why are they advertising Scorpion King 3 on TV? Like, I can understand on DVDs.
I don't know.
Like, if you rent a DVD or get one from Netflix or whatever, or buy a DVD, I can understand having, like, a commercial for it.
Yeah.
On the beginning, before your movie starts.
Yeah.
But, like, on TV commercials, they don't get that. Like, I don't know. When did the last Scorpion King movie come out? Like 4 years ago?
I don't know. Probably more, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Same thing with the American Pie movies. They kind of do that, too. Last, like, 10 American Pie films were straight to DVD. And they
I don't even consider those to be American Pie movies. Right. The only character that's the same is Eugene Levy.
Which is bizarre.
I mean, they made, nine of those?
Yeah.
Nine of those movies. Like, why would the main character's dad from the first movie be interacting with his friend's...
Brother's sister's
His friend. Son's friend's brother.
Creepy!
Right?
There's something weird going on. Yeah.
I actually do want to see the upcoming American Pie movie, not in theaters, eventually.
American Reunion?
Yeah. Yeah. Because... I don't know. That was sort of a big movie when I was in high school, so it'd be interesting to see what those people haven't done in all those years.
And you have to watch it because you have to thank them for bringing about the word MILF. So,
bringing us John Cho.
Right. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You can't. Because
he would be nowhere if it wasn't for that movie.
Right. Or that word.
Right. That's true.
If you don't know the word, look it up. I'm sure you know it.
Google.
All right. Okay.
If it hasn't blacked out, so.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's great. Great little discussion there. Just quickly recap, Golden Globes was this past weekend. Nothing crazy this year. Ricky Gervais did not insult anybody very badly this year, unfortunately.
And there were no,
booze and
costume, mishaps or anything like that.
Wardrobe malfunctions.
Right, yeah, none of those.
Wardrobe malfunctions, yeah.
So the Golden Globes has always been known to be like the precursor, as one of the big precursors of the Oscars. So just a quick rundown. For the best picture in a drama was The Descendants. The best actor of the drama was George Clooney from The Descendants and Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. Best musical comedy was the French film The Artist, which is basically a silent black and white film.
That kind of surprised
silent.
Me, actually.
Yeah, it's effectively silent. It was just music.
Wow, we're going back to, black and white in movies.
They have talkies
musicals.
Now. It's funny, I just watched Sunset Boulevard
Yeah.
It's about an actress who was in silent pictures.
Mm-hmm. And she was an actress. In real life, she was an actress in silent pictures. And she stopped doing films. And she actually had a dearth of films. And then they got her that. And she did really well. And she won, like, Best Actress. So.
Well, it's funny some of the stories they had to talk about that where, like, you know, they had all these silent actresses, silent film actresses who were, you know, pretty or beautiful or whatever. And then once they came out with sound, they couldn't talk right, or they had really thick accents. And I was just like, well, your job is gone now because you have to talk and you can't talk.
Yeah, or their voices were just weird. Yeah.
Right.
They made fun of that in that Clark Gable movie.
Gone with the Wind.
Was it Gone with the Wind?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't. It was not. I forget. Oh, man. I lost it. Anyway.
It happened one night?
Yeah, that's it. Because they were like making it, like they were pushing it, and all you heard was like ruffling, and the girl's voice was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a 5-year-old baby. It's just like, oh. And so they dubbed her, and they got some like really attractive woman to like, at least like, woman that was not attractive to like dub for her and stuff like that. All right. So, the artist, the best actor was also in The Artist. His name is Jean Dujardin. Jean Dujardin. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah. Nice and French. Thank you very much.
Very French. Yeah.
And then Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn. Martin Scorsese won Best Director for Hugo, which I guess was that great of a movie.
Is that live action or is that animated?
It's live action.
Okay. Live action, I couldn't tell from the commercial. It sort of looked like that Beowulf movie.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, it was a...
realistic, but it was clearly not animated.
Yeah, it was live action. Yeah, but it was all like... Yeah, I think it was a nice blend of stuff.
I was going back in my mind. I'm like, why you can't win an Oscar or a Golden Globe or whatever for being a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if you could win
best director
for an animated movie.
Yeah, they usually characterize that for something separate. Usually, they usually don't. They don't like that kind of stuff.
I read that a couple years ago. I was like, huh. It never even occurred to me that like. You couldn't win an Oscar if you were a voice actor in a movie, but it makes sense. They don't classify you as an actor,
which is
messed
up. If you were a voice actor,
yeah, it's pretty messed up. It's controversial, but they're old and they're not going to change it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So on to the television side, the best television series was Homeland, which I think is a pretty good. Pretty good, deserves it. Best actor is Kelsey Grammer for his show Boss on Starz.
And
Claire Danes is the best actress for Homeland as well.
Nice.
The comedy is Modern Family. Actor is Matt LeBlanc. And actress... go ahead.
What? Can I just say something about that?
About
on
Matt
episodes?
LeBlanc? Oh, okay.
No. I don't watch Modern Family. I have no judgment on that. I actually haven't seen episodes either. Mm-hmm. But... from what I understand, Matt LeBlanc is playing Matt LeBlanc. He's not really acting.
Is that the one that he did? That, like, only... because
No.
I thought it got canceled.
You're thinking of the show Joey, which is a spinoff from Friends?
No. There's
a show... he's on the show now called Episodes, where he's an actor. You know, he's Matt LeBlanc, who was on Friends and then was on Joey and then hasn't done anything since, and now he's trying to get back onto a TV show.
Uh-huh.
That's what the basis of the show is. He's not acting.
Oh.
He's playing Matt LeBlanc trying to get on a TV show.
Is that what it is? I thought it was...
Yeah. I mean, he's on a TV show, but the plot of the TV show is that he's trying to get on a TV show.
So he's basically playing himself.
He's playing himself a couple years ago.
Before he got this TV show... where he's acting to try to get on a TV show.
I don't...
wow.
Like, just going back to that, not considering what an actor is, if you are playing yourself, I don't consider... it's different if you're playing someone else from, like obviously, you know, Truman Capote or whatever. That's different. You're acting like that person. You're not acting if you're playing yourself.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
That's my only beef with these... wins is Matt LeBlanc is not acting.
Right. And then I don't know.
Some of the categories were had like really funky titles, like best actor, best supporting actor in a miniseries or a comedy or a musical or part-time television show. And it was like really long, like category. I was like, that's pretty specific. That can only be one person.
And then Laura Dern won for Enlightened, which is an HBO show, which I have not seen. I don't know if you guys have seen anything about that.
I've seen a trailer for it, and it did not look funny.
Oh.
It seemed kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Aww.
Fantastic.
Sort of like The Big C, where it's like an underlying depression type thing, where no matter how funny the show is, she's going to die of cancer.
Right.
Oh no.
Great.
That's how the show is going to end. But Enlightened is about a woman who's having like a nervous breakdown, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it didn't seem all that funny to me when I saw the trailer for it. But who knows? I might be wrong.
It's a drama. It's not supposed to be funny.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Wasn't there one other one though for Game of Thrones? The guy that
Dinklage won Best Supporting Actor.
Okay. All right. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I kind of
supporting actor and actresses spanned every drama, movie, television show, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
There was only one supporting character. There was one male and female, but it spanned TV shows and movies, I think.
Okay, good. Because I was pretty surprised with that. I thought, oh, wow, what a great win. You know, he's done such a good job. He did a really great job in that show. So I was pretty thrilled to see him win that. I was like, oh, cool. Game of Thrones, what a win.
Well, he won the Emmy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. So, yeah, yep. Definitely deserved it.
Yep.
Okay, so now we will get into television, which is what we're here for, right?
That's yay!
So this, like we said, like we talked about last week, this week is the begin, more or less kicking off mid-season. And just a quick couple of things, really, really quickly. I win our game.
You win.
We win our little game from last week.
Yeah.
I chose Work It to get canceled. And it did.
I said my extra. That was my extra one. Is Work It?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cheated.
That's not even fair.
It wasn't my first one.
It wasn't
my first choice.
It was my first choice. First and one and only choice. Unlike some people who cheated a couple times. Work It got canceled after just two episodes.
And it hadn't even aired.
Yeah. If this one show, one show last season, called Lone Star for Fox, got canceled after one episode.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I saw it, and I was like, this actually has some potential, and it got canceled. One episode. It didn't make it at all. I don't even know why you spend money to make this thing, to get it out of pilot. Yep. I don't even know why. But, so Work It got canceled.
They spend millions. TV studios spend millions of dollars a year.
Millions of dollars a year.
I'm sorry. I stopped. I saw Peter's mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him talk.
Oh no! I was drinking.
These television studios spend millions of dollars a year on shows that never even get put on TV. There are people out there whose sole source of income is acting or writing pilots. Writing pilots, and there are, you know, actors acting the pilots, and they get paid, you know, a couple hundred thousand, not $100,000, but maybe like, you know, $20,000 to be in this pilot, and that's how they get their money.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are so many shows that never see the light of day, and we get Work It.
Well, they're living up to their living up to their name. They're working it, but they ain't bringing it.
Right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Parental units. It's getting replaced by Cougar Town, which is actually coming back earlier than everybody expected, and everybody's really happy about it. On Valentine's Day, of all days.
That was a big that looked like it was going to get canceled, right? Or never aired?
Big ballyhoo, yeah. People were like, oh, what are you doing? But apparently Cougar Town, after like its first half season, it got really good. Like, it's just started.
Yeah.
Apparently now it's better than it used to be and stuff like that. But even though I win, you also win, because The Walking Dead Season 3... John's just like, what the hell? Stop it. Stop quoting. The Walking Dead Season 3 has been expanded by 3 episodes, so now it is a total of 16 episodes.
All right.
Which is pretty good. Just not bad, right? Not bad. But okay, so mid-season reviews. This week debuted Alcatraz, as well as Justified. The Firm debuted a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to review that. John, of course, is going to take Justified, and Amy will talk Alcatraz. So we're going to go with ladies first. Amy, why don't you talk about Alcatraz and what you liked about it?
Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't realize that this was a 2-episode. I only saw one, and it happened to be the second one. But based off of what I saw, I was actually pretty thrilled with it. And the thing is that it's like it has this really Lost feel to it.
Yes, down to the music.
Definitely. Yeah, down to the music even. Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same composer. That's why.
Yeah, it's Alcatraz. It's Lost on a prison.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, all right, this sounds, you know, it's got enough going for it that I'm like, okay, I will continue to watch. The only thing that I know that we talked about this before we started recording is one of the characters, Sarah Jones, who plays Rebecca Madsen, the homicide detective, she kind of seems a little young. And so I'm still kind of getting used to the character, but she's also one of the main characters, so I thought, oh, okay. But there's such, you know, she's doing a great job, like, pulling her weight as a character. So I'm like, I don't think it'll take much longer for me to kind of go, okay, all right, I think I'm all right with this character already. But, you know, that's the only thing that I had to say. Other than that, you know, we've got Jorge Garcia, we've got Sam Neill in it. Let's see who else that I thought was a pretty big person in there. So, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other people, but they're not people that I'm really familiar with. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to what else this is going to put out there. They've kind of got this mystery slash sci-fi vibe going on, so I'm going, okay, you know, something about, like, time traveling, possibly. They're wondering how all of these inmates that disappeared years ago are finally just kind of appearing back on the back in the public, and first they're out, and two, they're coming back after disappearing for so many years. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with it, because you know, there's just enough mystery going on that, you know, you're like, okay, all right, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and you know, it'll be the one that I'll probably watch. That's out of the new lineup, this is probably the only one I'll probably stick with, I think.
Okay. Hey John, did you by any chance catch Alcatraz?
No, I didn't. I didn't have any intention of either.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. So I
liked Lost, so this has a really good feel,
yeah.
And I like it.
I did not like Lost, so...
Yeah.
John was I don't know. I had, like you were saying, I could tell I had that sort of feel during the commercial, so I was like, you know what? I only want to see Sam Neill in Jurassic Park, so...
Yeah, I was very skeptical when I went in, and I'm still, you know, I saw the first 2 hours, and I think I'm going to need another 1 or 2 weeks to finally solidify. I'm trending towards me liking it, definitely. You know, it's the premise is, it sounded kind of dumb, but then since I, you know, as I watched it, it kind of helped a little bit more. They kind of like leading on. It's a little, obviously, it's a little like on the... there's a bit of the super, you know, superficial or not superficial. Like there's something like magic behind it of some sort. So they're probably going to fix that. I just hope that they don't wait forever to answer questions. That was a really big drag on Lost in seasons 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I really hope
they
kind of, you know, that's kind of what's happening.
They need to continue.
Yeah. That's kind of what's happening on Fringe as well. It's kind of taking...
Yeah.
They're kind of dragging it a bit, so I really hope that they just have answer after answer, but who knows?
They need to have a little bit of payoff and payback for people that continue to watch, so it's like, yeah, you can't drag it too much. If you drag it too much, then you'll start
bleeding viewership, and that's not good.
Right, you do not want to bleed viewership. Bleeding in general is bad. Viewership is just even worse. There's just tons of people pouring out of your body. It's not good. All right. So, John, how about you and Justified returning for season 3 on FX?
Yes, the third season of Justified aired on first episode aired on Tuesday. If you don't know what the premise of the show is, it's about a U.S. Marshal. He's been working for the Marshal Service for basically his career. Working in Miami, I guess, and got in some trouble, and they sent him to Kentucky, which is actually where he grew up at, so he knows all the locals, basically. And sort of I've been thinking about it. It's not so much a serial. There's a whole a story arc that lasts basically the whole season usually. The focus of the show is, in my opinion, his relationships with the different people. There's his boss, who is also a U.S. Marshal, who didn't know him when he was younger, but sees him as like a wild card, but he's also, he can get things done because he knows the people he knows. A lot of the people that he grew up with are now criminals in Kentucky, so he can use this person for information, or he knows that he can arrest this person because he knows he's doing something bad. So it kind of started out, Peter, you saw it, right?
I did.
It's...
Uh-oh.
Oh, no! He froze!
Not while we're talking Justified.
No!
Oh, wait, he maybe?
He's back.
Oh, okay, you're back. All right, cool. Yay.
What happened?
Oh, he froze.
So anyway,
he froze for a moment, yeah.
The season, I don't know if you could hear me still, but I was saying the season started out basically in the tail end of last season. It didn't carry on too far after that, but it basically ended on sort of on a cliffhanger. He was injured, and they go into his rehab. But then the other character, his name is Boyd Crowder. I can't remember what his actual name is.
You can keep going. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Basically, these two are the main characters on the show, and they've been, in the first season, they were at each other's throat. Obviously, there's a U.S. Marshal, and the other guy is sort of a criminal, or he is a criminal. That was the first season. The second season, Boyd Crowder was kind of on the straight and narrow path, where he wasn't doing anything wrong, and he was actually helping out Raylan, who was the main character. And then the season started out with them two getting in a fist fight and the guy getting sent to jail.
Yep.
And at first you're like, oh man, I can't understand why he would do that. And then at the end of the episode, you get this look from him and it's like, I planned this. This is where I want to be. So, obviously there's a lot of story to tell. I'm really looking forward to it. It's very good writing and very good acting. So
yeah,
I've been watching since day one, so I'm in it for the long haul anyway, so...
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you can certainly catch up. There's only 13 episodes per season. It's only the third season, so... if you want to watch it, I highly suggest it.
Yeah, I think that, and I think one of the best parts about... Oh, his name is Walton Goggins, by the way.
Oh, Walter Goggins, yeah.
Yeah, he was... What's that? But anyway, yeah, Walton Goggins was actually in the show.
He was nominated for an Emmy last year?
Yeah, for this show. And he was also, he was also a central character in another FX show called The Shield as Shane Vendrell for 5 years or 7 years as the show was on. I think the best part about the show is that everybody just feels like they're having fun. Like, it's well written, and everyone just seems like on top of their game. They just have a lot of fun, interacting with each other. Even it could be a tense situation where, there was a thing where he was talking to Timothy Oliphant's character was talking to the one guy. He was like, if next time we have a conversation, we're not going to have a conversation. And then they had the conversation. It was serious, the guys, people are dead. But at the same time, they were having fun with this conversation, and he was like, oh, I thought we were going to have a conversation. It's like, oh, this is a different conversation. They're like, you know. So definitely a really good show. So
the acting is very natural, I feel like. It's sort of, if a show is on for a long time, it's sort of like, it feels like the actors can kind of be like, I have to be like I was when I first played this character, so now I'm playing this character.
Right.
And it's sort of not as good, but it seems like they filmed this all at the same time, you know, for like a third season, because the acting is still spot on.
Okay. All right, so now that both of you have loved the shows that you have seen, I'm going to talk about a show that I really disliked. and that is The Firm, that is on NBC on Thursdays. It's please avoid it. If you haven't seen it yet, just avoid the show. Apparently, you know, NBC is just going to... There's already been 22 episodes ordered because it is not an NBC-produced show. NBC just bought the rights, but they will probably get rid of it soon because it is just a bad show. I saw the first 2 hours of, you know, they did a two-hour gig on a Sunday right after a football game, I believe. So I watched that, and I was like, okay, I think I get the show. Maybe I get it. I'm not exactly sure. And then I saw the second, and then I saw the third episode or the second night, and it was awful. I actually didn't care for the show. I didn't care for any of the characters. The characters that I thought, you know, I was like, oh man, they're kind of annoying. They definitely were very annoying. It was just like, wow, this character could potentially be annoying. And when it hit episode 3, I was like, wow, this character is annoying. And the worst part about it is, I was thinking about this off air, you know, in one of the pre-shows. So it starts with a premise that he finds, he runs through this thing of forbidden water in D.C., that if you run through that water, you will get arrested and thrown in federal jail. It's a federal offense to run in.
Any time of day, on any day of the week.
Yes, you will get thrown in jail. Which actually you just saw if you were watching the video, a trailer, and he was just running through the water. So so the issue that, you know, comes about that is he runs, he escapes, or so he thinks he escapes. Then he meets this guy in a hotel room. And then the guy, you know, something happens, like, you can't protect me, blah, blah, blah. And he jumps out of the hotel room, jumps off the balcony and dies and kills himself.
And okay.
For the next 3 hours, they progress that storyline by a maximum of 3 minutes. He kills himself. The guy kills himself. They jump back 3 weeks earlier. He does a couple of cases, jumps back. It shows him literally turning around, the door being busted open by whoever's chasing him, and then the show ends. The next episode, it shows him in the show, like, he's coming back, you know, oh, the guy just jumped off the roof, and I'm going to run away. He somehow runs away out of the hotel room, and then that's the end. That's as far as they progress. That's part of the storyline. They jump 3 weeks, like, earlier or something, or 5 weeks earlier or something.
Wow.
So the premise of the idea is they're going to have these, like, once a week boring cases – slowly develop the undercurrent, like, of, you know, there's something big. Like, he took a case where this lady got a surgery, and it's causing malfunctions, and it turns out it's much bigger than that, or something like that, or something crazy. I don't even care. It's so bad that I don't even care. And then it got to the point where they. You see a total of like 5 minutes of that storyline in 3 hours of a show. And we were talking about it before where they were saying, they have to have some sort of payoff. And I'm hoping that they don't drag this on, but unfortunately they're dragging it on.
That's too bad.
Yeah. It's just not a good show in general. So that's my review of The Firm. Please avoid it. Just please avoid it. Don't even. Just wait till it goes off the air and NBC replaces it with something just as bad, and try that one out. So
they replace it with Community.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe they will. Yeah, because they moved Community out of there, right, for this show,
yeah.
Didn't they? So the firm for me, Alcatraz. Amy enjoyed it, and
yep.
John, of course, as I do, enjoys Justified.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right. Well, that is a very good show, guys. That is it for this week. Just a quick couple of things. We are on iTunes, so you know, hit us up, subscribe, download, put on your
on
iPod.
Twitter as well.
Yeah, run. Yep. We're on Twitter at Screenview Show, which you see in our logo right up above John's head. Just look up above John's head. John, look up. Yep, Screenview Show right there. And all right, well then, everyone have a good night, and we will see you next week.
Awesome.
Alrighty.
Laughter, a smile on my face.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.